There are so many fabulous faraway places to see, such as Mexico, Sweden, Hawaii, Japan, and Capri.
Welcome back. I'm Michael Ray. You are listening to Thought Provoking Talk on Dresser After Dark.
Desert oasis, pleasant as home is, it isn't what Rome is, so why stay there when there are so many fabulous...
Larry Bradley with us, the author of Neither Liberal Nor Conservative Be an Action Plan for People Disgusted by Polarized Politics. He's got degrees in political science and an MBA, served in the U.S. Army as both an infantry officer and a research and development specialist. He gained a unique perspective into the political and economic dynamics of our military and the society it serves, and he shares his ideas and political views in his passionate, lively writing and presentations in person and also on the radio. And let us say, Larry, hi, welcome to the show. There we go. Oh, I got you, Larry. All I have to do is learn how to hit a button, and I've got it. thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It's been a while. I always enjoyed being on your show.
Thank you. And by the way, I did the greatest intro. You probably didn't hear it.
I did hear the intro.
Oh, nuts. Okay.
Good.
Let's talk about Neither Liberal Nor Conservative. Larry, conservative be. Larry, in this times that we're in right now, and it's very confusing because most people have no idea what's going on. They have no idea what a Democrat is or a Republican is or an independent is anymore. How do they center themselves? I am serious about this. Most people have no idea which way to go, and that's dangerous.
It is, absolutely. And it is, you are referring to what I see as a very frustrating problem here, is that most people have never really sat down and thought about what is my political philosophy.
Sure.
You know, what? How do I align who I am as an individual with what my political beliefs are and my political affiliations?
Now, if we get into the book, Neither Liberal Nor Conservative Be, is there a roadmap, something I can sit down and take a look at it, fill something out, answer certain questions to get an idea of what I am?
It's not a workbook in that respect, Michael, but it is an idea of making you, asking you questions, giving you certain diagrams and that sort of thing. For example, one of the things I've got in there is a four quadrant drawing of two different things. Of most people are focused on what they want in a political party is, I think, social tolerance and fiscal responsibility.
Yeah.
And so you can take that and develop that into four quadrants based on social intolerance and fiscal irresponsibility. There's one of those quadrants, which is what most people desired. Unfortunately, the two parties do not offer you that. They offer you at best half a loaf. And in my opinion, the four quadrants, there's one that's very desirable to be in, there's one that's very undesirable to be in, and then there's the other two. And unfortunately, one of the major two parties is drifting down into the quadrant that is the most undesirable to be in.
And I think the operative words are social tolerance. That word, Larry, in and of itself has gotten so skewed in definition that it's scary anymore. I'm afraid to say woman. I'm afraid to say this. I'm afraid to say that. If I do, I've got a label which restricts my free speech in any kind of political rhetoric that I want to get into.
I think we can get into some to a certain degree. There is, you know, the sensitivity, but at least we do have sensitivity now about, you know, about what we say, and we try to be more tolerant of other people and trying to say to them, hey, does this, if I say this, is this offensive to you? You know, how could I express this differently? You know, at least we can have that.
Well, let me give you a prime example. The governor of Arizona right now. And by the way, I happen to be right to center. I am not extreme in either way. So that's pretty much where I'm at. I'm pretty much a centrist. But at the same time, we've got the governor of Arizona who put together a law. And that law basically said we want to, the reason for the law was we want to protect the citizens of Arizona because there's gang activity going on. There's drugs going on. There's human trafficking going on. There are people getting killed. There are people getting kidnapped. We've got to stop it somehow. And that turned into, you're a racist. So that social tolerance has got to be dealt with on the level of politics and those people who represent us.
Yeah, it's a very difficult situation. You know, it's a thing of, you know, like I say, you have a porous border.
Yeah.
And one of the things, when I talk about that border, one of the things that, you know, it's not easy.
No.
Speaking of, as someone who's had to deploy people on a line to deny other people from going through it from point A to point B on the ground, you know, it's not easy to maintain a 24/7, 365-day vigilance over 2,000 miles of border.
No question. But when we're talking about death, look at the consequence of the dope that comes across. I don't want to get us off track. But when you look at all of those things, and you've got resistance for protecting the border, and then when somebody finally protects the border, they're accused of being everything under the sun that they're probably not. I think that's where our politics has gone, and that's where most people are confused about what politics are. And I've got to tell you, the person who promises me the most, that's who I vote for as the average citizen. And that's not right.
You say the person you vote for is the person who promises you the most?
Yeah, promises the most.
Yeah. You know, I wonder how it is sometimes that people do make a choice. For some people, it's a matter of they have certain religious beliefs.
Yeah.
And they have people who tell them that, yes, I'll support your religious beliefs. Well, you know, excuse me, that there's such a thing as the First Amendment.
Yeah.
You know, that says thou shalt make no laws about religion.
Yeah.
And we need to come to grips on that. You know, that's also one of the things that I talk about there. It's what I call my monkey head theory, as you may or may not recall, Michael, is the idea of, you know, the monkey head theory is basically you have two cars, you know, and you come down to that, you know, it's going to be between this car or this other car. And so you line the two cars up and you look at them and you say, you know, what's the difference between these two cars? You know, and why is it I like one car and why is it I dislike the other and vice versa? And what you find out is that one of them has a monkey head mounted on the hood, like a hood ornament, and the other has a monkey head mounted on the trunk, like a spoiler. And your question is, you know, can I get a car without a monkey head?
Yeah. No, I got it loud and clear. But I think, Larry, what the biggest problem is I grew up in an America that we believed in the Constitution. I happen not to be Christian, but I was brought up singing Christmas carols, getting Christmas trees, and practicing the American culture the way that I learned America was about. I said the Pledge of Allegiance in school. I had no problem with that. I sang God Bless America or whatever it was going to be, wherever anybody was. And I was also, by the way, I was in the military too. I was in the Marine Corps, and I was always proud to do so. And the key is what we had, we are starting to lose now. And that's, I think, where the confusion is. That's why I think books like yours that say, take a look at it, make your choice, but know what you're making your choice about, then all of a sudden you've got a little bit of clarity in life.
Yeah. The other thing we're seeing right now, Michael, is that the thought of it's becoming so polarized, then you get people who withdraw from activity in the party and other things like that. Well, then all you're doing is you're abandoning the playing field of the most extreme elements on both sides.
Sure. Go ahead.
And that's one of our worst issues that we have right now is when you leave it, because if you are a centrist, and, you know, there's 40% of the population, roughly, that consider themselves to be independents. Of course, there's no real congruency there's no uniformity of belief amongst those who are independents, but it still comes down to the fact that, you know, when you only have the two parties, what they have evolved to is came out with people and policies that were intended to appeal to the center. And now they please themselves and they say, take it or leave it.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point. When Obama, and this is common knowledge, this isn't a Republican talking about a Democrat, but when Obama came to office, he came with certain promises and he was going to move towards the center. The minute he got into office, that was over and he went about his own agenda, which good, bad, or indifferent, that's what it is. So I really believe that the confusion is here, and it's big time here, Larry, and people need to be held by the hand right now. When I say held by the hand, not led around, but to say this is what it is. This is, if you don't like it, this is what you can do. And I think the town hall meetings that they had was the one thing that I saw in the town hall meetings is I think the people that are in office right now got confused in who's working for who. We saw an attitude. And I know that there's areas in the book that say, if you don't like what's going on, this is what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. And more than that, and this is what I'm going back and forth, Michael, about whether to just write another book about it or whether to just establish some sort of a nonprofit organization and work at it. But it is my feeling that we are going to have the situation we have, or in other words, the situation we have is because of the system that we have that only has these two parties that are competitive.
Yeah.
And so long as we have this system, we will have this behavior. If we want to change the behavior, then we've got to change the system. And my feeling on that is there's something called, some people call it instant runoff voting.
Yeah.
Other people call it ranked choice voting.
I love it. Go ahead.
Is the idea of until we fix it so that those two parties have a chance, have a real potential of losing to another party, they have no reason to change.
So they're really not running based on a party. What you've got is, let's say, what do you got? You got 10 people going to run for office, and everybody votes. And the one with the lowest amount of votes gets steps down, and those votes go back up into the most popular, and it's just a process of elimination until you got the person that is left with all the votes.
Right. There are two places to go and get a lot of good information about it. One is fairvote.org, that I really recommend, and there's also my own blog at thecenterstrikesback.com. where I try to have information about that to explain what it is and how it would work and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and by the way, it's a very and I would venture to guess that that is the fairest way, because that really puts them into power. That has got nothing to do with somebody buying their way into what it is. It's truly a vote of the people.
I think you've hit on another thing that concerns me a great deal today, and that is the impact of money on our politics. And that is why, again, I think that if we were to institute instant runoff voting so that other parties could emerge that would have the power to defeat one of these two major parties, then that would also be one of the cures for the finance, because you have all these different parties. And you may not have that many. You might have five.
Yeah.
But then that means that the money people have to spread their money five ways instead of just two ways.
Okay, well, let me see if I got it. We deal with there's a town hall meeting, and somebody's running for mayor. So you got five people running for mayor. And then everybody in the room gets up and they stand behind the guy or the man or the woman that they want. And then the one with the lowest amount of people, then he or she's out. And then everybody left over goes and stands behind the one that they want. And then the one with the lowest vote, they go out. And then those people in turn go stands behind the next one until you got one person and everybody standing behind them.
Exactly. You're thinking more, that's the caucus, but it's still the same principle. In other words, instead of, as it is right now, when you go to vote, you vote for winner take all. You only get one choice of the available candidates. And with instant runoff or ranked choice voting, what you do is you go in and you rank order the candidates in your order of preference.
Yeah.
And so what that means is the computer, you don't have to come back and vote over and over again. You mark your ballot, and the computer takes care of rank ordering your choices. And so as you say, Michael, the individual that gets the least amount of support, they go out, and so we go to all the people that candidate was their first choice, and we say to them, okay, who's your second choice?
Yeah, and by the way, I believe in term limits. You get a week in office, and then you're out.
Well, you know, the thing about term limits is, you know, there's some bad folks that you throw out with term limits.
Sure.
But there's also some good people that you throw out.
Absolutely, no question about it. There's absolutely, yeah.
And so, again, that's why I think, I know a lot of people like term limits as a solution. I think of the two approaches in order to overcome polarized politics and to make it more possible to move people out, I think the instant runoff voting or ranked choice voting is it's the same thing under a different name.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the better way, I think, to make the polarization go away. Instead of making it us against them so much, we change into more what is the theme of what I'm talking about, which is, shouldn't everything really be what is the course of action that gives us, that does the most amount of good for the largest amount of people for the longest period of time, as balanced against doing the least amount of damage to the fewest amount of people for the shortest amount of time that we can do, given available dollars and competing priorities.
I'm in total agreement. We're just about out of time. Where do we find your website?
The best way to go to is at thecenterstrikesback.com, and the book is also available through amazon.com.
Wonderful. Hey, Larry, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to have you back on again. This information, there's just not enough time to do it once.
I agree. It's always a good time to talk to you, Michael.
Wonderful. Hey, thanks, and good night.
Night. Bye-bye.
Lasts forever, and the promise to be near each time you call, and the only heart I own for you and you alone. Oh, that's all. Oh, that's all. I can only give you country walks in springtime and a hand to hold when leaving.